Now the question is whether this particular energy is working on its own or is being impelled by somebody else. If there is a horse carriage in which the horse is being driven, if you don't see the driver for a long time, you might feel that the horse is driving itself and goes on and on. But later on you may discover that there must be somebody to ride, somebody to guide. There must be a charioteer. Now, in the spiritual search, it was found that behind Prakriti there is somebody who drives Prakriti. That is, Prakriti is not self-impelled. Motion of Prakriti is not self-impelled. There is behind it another power which is capable of standing behind and guiding, controlling. That power is called Purusha, which experiences as a being the minimum capacity of which is to witness. A Purusha is capable of witnessing the situation. This is the minimum capacity of Purusha. Of this we have talked last time already. And we had said that if this is the relationship, then it is further argued that the kind of situation in which you find yourself is actually a result of what Purusha wills. And Purusha is yourself. But this Purusha, which is yourself, is not what you think is yourself. And that is where the problem lies. If it was very easy that this Purusha was the same thing as we think is ourselves, then turning the situation would be very easy. You can manipulate the situation very easily. But what you think yourself is still a part of the situation. What you think to be yourself is only a part of your situation. It's not yourself. Normally you think that your thoughts are yourselves, your mind is yourself, your ego is yourself. But later when you discover that that is a part of Prakriti, they are all products of your situation. They are not yourself. There is still something beyond. And when you discover that, and if that Purusha wills that the situation should change, it will change. The secret of the situation is in that Purusha. You are in the given situation because, for one reason or the other, there was a will in Purusha which has led you to the present situation. So from this, one very important conclusion follows: never blame anybody else for your situation. Your situation is a result of your will, not immediate will, of which you are not immediately aware, but which has a long story and a long history, as a result of which your present situation is what it is. So if you can go back to that original Purusha, then you can have the power to change your situation. Now the question is, how can you go back in the discovery of that will of the Purusha? How has Purusha come into this situation? Now on this question, there is a bewildering confusion in the entire history of Indian thought. How has Purusha come into this situation? Some people say, don't ask this question because it is unanswerable. Some say, you do not press for the answer. Some say, don't ask the question at all. Some say, don't press for the answer. Your pressing question is something else. What is your pressing question? How to come out of this trouble? Not how I have come into it, but how should I come out of it? So your pressing question is how to come out of it. So he said, I have the answer to this question. So this pressing question I shall answer. The other question, how did I come into it? Perhaps there is no answer to it, or I can't answer it. Or perhaps when you come out of it, you'll be able to answer it. But at present, don't answer this question. Don't raise this question. There's a famous sentence that you have been inflicted by a thorn in your foot, which is paining you so much, and it is unbearable pain. Now you go to a doctor. Now doctor begins to ask you the question, how did this happen? So he said, please ask me this question later on. My pressing question is, please remove it now. First remove it. So that is why it is said that your present situation is so pressing that you just come out of it. And I can tell you how to come out of it. The third answer is that it is by the mistake of the Purusha that it has entered into this undesirable situation. It should not have entered into it, but by mistake it has entered. Or it is by accident it has happened. Somehow the soul forgot itself. This is another answer that is given. A fourth answer is given is that it is the sport of the soul. For the sake of play, it has entered into it. These are different answers which have been given to this question. But let us return to the one which says, don't ask other questions and you ask the pressing question. Because there is some great merit in it. We shall come to all the questions, all the answers, because they are all important for understanding the second paragraph. Now this second answer that is given, do not ask the question of the origin of it, but ask the pressing question, how to come out of it. Is actually an answer of almost everybody, but prominently by the Buddhists. The Buddhists maintain that you find yourself in this terrible condition. It is said that people may not realize, but they are sitting on a volcano. All human beings, according to them, are sitting on a volcano. They do not know that they are sitting on the volcano. So we are all in that situation. We are all sitting on a volcano. Any time it can burst. So before it bursts, it declares that you are sitting on a volcano. And you are told, please come out of it. And I know how to take you out of it. This is the claim of Buddhists. So its answer is the following. That your situation is simply a complex. Complex means a construction. Constructions which are going on indefinitely. One construction produces another construction. That produces another construction. That produces another construction. It's a constant web. The whole life is a web of life. It will go on constructing on and on and on and on. And this construction is painful, basically. You may experience happiness now and then, just as people having a picnic on a volcano may enjoy for some time. But basically, all human beings are in a web which is painful. And sooner or later, one comes to experience the pain. So this world is dukkhamaya samsara. It is a world which is full of misery and suffering. And this suffering is because of constructions. These constructions in a human being are made by the web, by the thread of desire. And this desire becomes more complicated when there is a further construction of ego. Desire and ego are the two threads by which the constructions that are made become very powerful. No construction can be broken as long as this basic thread of desire and ego are maintained. This is the analysis of the Buddhists. Then what is to be done? Now the process of coming out. This is not the absolute origin. The question is how did it start is not answered. It only says that constructions are going on. When did this construction start? That is not answered. There is not even that question is not being raised. It only says there are constructions being built, and in these constructions the thread of desire and ego are most prominent. So the answer is that if you want to come out of it, then you should destroy desire and ego. But how to destroy desire and ego? And the answer is, a process of right thinking, right judgment, right action, benevolent action. You do such karma, the answer is that certain actions, not all actions, but certain specific actions, if you do certain specific actions which are all activated by compassion and go on doing them repeatedly on and on and on and on, and don't begin any new desire, whatever you have now, you start from there. No new desire to be added to your program. At the present moment, you stop where you are and start demolition of all constructions. And for that, you do only benevolent actions of compassion. And when you do this, somehow, miraculously, it is found that these compassionate actions have a dissolving power. They have a power. That they go on dissolving your constructions. The more you do them, the more the constructions are gone. Now this may take a long time. It may not be done in one life. At least you have started in this life. Maybe that you are again born because of the constructions. And when a time comes when you really arrive at a point where you are mature, you achieve a state of bodhisattva, not of Buddhahood, but of bodhisattva, then you are so compassionate, so kind. The action that proceeds from you creates no construction. Ultimately, even that compassion reaction also ceases, because there is also construct. But a construct which has a capacity of dissolving constructions. And ultimately it dissolves its own construct. Now that state which where you reach, where all constructs are gone, that is moksha, according to Buddhism. Now, since there is no construct in it at all, there is no misery now left. Forever you are delivered out of it. And there is no birth, because there is no ego left, there is no desire left, no construct left. All birth is construct. It is all dissolved. So there is no rebirth. And you have come out of the whole wheel of constructs. Now this is the answer given. That your thorn is taken out of your flesh. And you are now free.